Let's take some shots. JK, we're sober.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Kimberly.
And today we have a special guest. Trisha from Recovery Happy Hour is here to talk with us. Hello.
Hi, Julie and Kimberly. How are you?
We are lovely.
Yeah, doing well.
Doing good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We were actually like a little starstruck over here. We are both follow a bunch of different recovery podcasts and stuff. So we reached out. We're like, all right, we picked like two that we like really like. And we're like, I wonder if they'll answer. So we're like so happy that you're here with us.
Yes, of course.
Today.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. It's always fun to support other people paying it forward. You know, we all have to support each other right now, and we're all doing the same thing and helping people. So I'm happy to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again. And I guess if you want to tell us a little bit about you and your story, then we can chat.
Sure. So my name is Trisha Lewis. I'm 39. I'm going to be 40 soon, which sounds older than it feels. And I live in Dallas, Texas. And I host a podcast called Recovery Happy Hour. In my day-to-day life, I work in the restaurant industry. I work on the corporate side. And let's see, I quit drinking on November 14th of 2016. So I've been sober for about 4.5 years. It's the best thing I ever did. My only regret is not wait, you know, is that I waited as long as I did. So that's kind of what I'm doing now. And I don't know if you want me to tell my story now, or if you tell me, ladies.
Yeah, if you want to, that'd be great. Start us off.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I had no idea that there was such a thing as high functioning alcoholism. I grew up in a family around people with addiction. And I just always thought that it was the typical stigma that if you had a drinking problem, that meant you were exploding your life and that everyone around you knew and that it looked like what you saw on TV. And because that was my experience personally, was living around somebody who had a really bad problem, and it just, our lives were chaos because of it. So I was your typical sibling of an addict, and overcompensated for that reason. I wanted to be extra perfect for my parents, and I just wanted to blend into the wall and just try not to bother anyone and try to make everyone else's life as easy as possible. So I was a perfectionist, overachiever, just really, I felt like my currency was, you know, other people's approval and validation. And but at the same time, I think, you know, I want to say I was probably about 16 when I drank for the first time, and it was because a boy dumped me, and I had never drank before, but I knew that I didn't want to feel my feelings, and I knew that if I drank that it would change the way I felt. And so I took 3 shots of whiskey back to back, like my first time ever drinking, so that I wouldn't have to feel my feelings. And if that is not a sign of a problem, I don't know what is. It wasn't like I was sipping on a wine cooler at a party.
Right.
So I sort of kept up with that pattern until I was, you know, 35, of overachieving and then drinking a whole lot along with that. I could do both, you know, and I was really good at making it look like my life was together. I was successful at a young age. I was a young chef, and I worked late nights and worked really, really hard. And in the restaurant industry, you drink as hard as you work. That's just, you know, that's your badge of honor. So I kept up with that pattern throughout my 20s and early 30s, and was just so obsessed with making it look like I didn't have a problem, because I knew what it was like to be around somebody who had a problem. And I just hated the idea of anybody ever being concerned about me or worried about me. So, and I also figured, you know, if I was drinking expensive drinks in a glass, you know, like in a glass bottle, and it was like, oh, this is grain-free vodka, it's like, you know, for some reason, like that made it look like I had less of a problem. I mean, there are all these rules that you try to justify your problem with. And I tried to moderate, couldn't do it. Terrible at it. That's like the biggest myth is moderation.
You always talk about like, what is moderation? We don't know.
Yeah. it's something that actually doesn't exist. Like people who can drink moderately aren't actually trying to moderate their drinking. They just stop drinking when they want to stop. You know what I mean? So they don't normally think as much as we do. So let's see. I got married, and then, you know, success, 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 drink, 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 like just the back and forth. Would wake up every morning pissed off because I was, you know, blacked out the night before. And I had meant to just have one. And, you know, why couldn't I just drink like a normal person? And it's not like I was going out and partying at this point. I mean, I think towards the end, I was like just watching like Netflix and like blacking out on the couch. And I got a divorce, that surprise. And that was really, really difficult. And I didn't want to feel my feelings. And alcohol always worked. So that's when things kind of got really bad. I was 34. And at that point, I was drinking to not feel so that I could just survive and just get through the day. I thought that I was waking up with a hangover every day. And at a certain point, that just becomes a detox. Like the reason why you wake up feeling shaky is because your body is used to having alcohol in it and it wants more. So even though I was starting to drink during the day to feel better or just count down the hours till I could start drinking again, it just got to be harder and harder to do both. I owned a business at the time. We were expanding. I knew I was going to have to quit someday. I just knew that this wasn't normal and that it ran in my family. And I reached a point of, it was like one or the other. Trisha, do you want to be successful and live, or do you want to keep drinking like this and really fuck up your life and die? And I was a danger to myself. That's why I was drinking alone, because it's because I didn't want to go out. I was falling down and, you know, I didn't want to get into a car accident. Like I just started drinking alone because that was safer, and went out partying for a whole weekend and woke up one Monday morning. I couldn't shake off that hangover like I always could. And about 9:30 that night, I finally started to feel a little bit better. But then the next 2 days, it was like the flu. And that's when I realized it was like, it was withdrawal. It was full blown alcohol withdrawal. My organs hurt, you know, cold sweats. I couldn't eat. It was just awful. And I knew, you know, just like knowing that this day was going to come, you know, it wasn't a surprise to me, but I was like, okay, we're like, we're here now, we're doing this. And I started listening to recovery podcasts. And it's funny, and I think about it and I even say this out loud. I was like, well, maybe if I just listen to like a recovery podcast and like drink a bunch of green juice and maybe just dry out for a couple of weeks, then I'll be fine. You know, still kind of telling myself those lies. And I finally heard somebody's story and they sounded like mine. They were high functioning too. And they were really good at making it look like they didn't have a problem. And as soon as I knew that I wasn't alone, that's when the rubber hit the road. And I started to learn how to not drink. And that's where it began in November 2016.
That's amazing. Something you said that stuck out to me. I mean, besides really the whole being high functioning is crazy, because you tried to make it really hard so no one knew that you had a problem.
Oh, I was obsessed.
I always thought that I was doing such a good job at that. And I look back at it and like, I don't think I was. Like, I don't really think that I perfected it as much as I would have liked to, honestly.
You know, the only people that weren't surprised were the people that have experience with addiction. You know, he was my person that was around me that had a relationship with drugs and alcohol for 20 plus years. And at that point, when I quit, he had finally gotten sober. He was about a year sober. And when I told him, he was like, I know. Like, I mean, you know, nobody else knew, you know, maybe one or two close friends were like, yeah, I was kind of wondering, because lately you've been like, da, da, da. You know, they thought I was just like wild, clumsy Trisha. But yeah, people who have experience with drinking or drug use, like they know.
Yeah.
You know, somebody knows. You're not that good at it.
I thought I was. And then when I told my dad, I'm like, yeah, so I'm sober now. I don't know if you knew, like I had a drinking problem and I realized it because I wasn't living with him. I was living on my own. And he turns around and he was like, oh, I knew you were getting loaded. And I was like, oh, okay. I like took a step back. I was like, Well, I'm sorry.
It's funny. It reminds me, your story as far as like drinking alone reminds me of Kimberly's story, because she, kind of just like speaking your story right now, but she would always say that she did a lot drinking alone too, right?
I would black out alone in my apartment all the time. One time I woke up hugging my cat tree. I don't know what I was trying to do. My cat must have been on it and I must have fell asleep mid like laser play.
Yeah. Yeah. People always say that, like, well, I'm not an alcoholic because I don't drink alone. And it's like, well, you will. Like, it's a yet.
Get there.
Yeah, you'll get to that point. And yeah, it's not like I was, like I said, it's not like I was going out and raging. Like, I wasn't trying to black out. And that's the thing, like later on, as this thing progresses, because it does for everyone, you cannot outsmart this thing. You know, eventually it was like, I was blacking out after two glasses of wine. Like, it was just like my tolerance just was getting lower and lower, and the consequences were getting so much greater. And that rate at which it was progressing was accelerating so quickly. So yeah. Like, this thing gets out of hand quickly, and it happens before you're ready for it. That's for yeah. sure.
Before, so, like you said, you can get a hand on it all of a sudden.
Yeah. Like, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, like I'm here. This is bad. So yeah. I'm so lucky that I caught it when I did.
You were talking about the like going through withdrawal, like your body's so used to having alcohol in you. I think I've shared this before on our podcast, but, or definitely with Kimberly, that I used to think, cause I'm like really bad at drinking water, like hydrating myself on a daily basis sober. I'm like, just not good at drinking fluids. Unless it was alcohol, obviously. So I was, you know, I was finding myself in the mornings, like the last few months of my drinking, or like the last year of my drinking, I was like shaking at work. And I would be handing a paper to my friends and I'm literally like shaking. I'm like, oh wow, I'm really dehydrated. Like, I really need some water. And then in like my sick brain, I got under the impression that it seems like when I drink a lot, then I'm able to hydrate myself the next day. So like, I'm being really healthy. Like I'm getting like all this water in me, like I'm doing so good. But really it was like, I was going through withdrawals on like a daily basis and I didn't even know.
Yeah. 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 Hangovers are real cute until they're not, you know, like I said, there is a point at which it just switches on you, you know, and that was the thing. Like, I was 35. I was, you know, I was like a year and a half divorced. And I was like, I don't want to be that, like, you know, drunk older lady who's like falling off her bar stool. Like, that's just, you know, like you can get away with it for a while, but like yeah. at a certain age, like, no, that is not cute. And I don't want to be her. Yeah. And no offense to whoever she is out there that's listening right now that is that person, girl, that's okay. I love you and I hope you love you too and you can get better. But like, I just didn't want to be that girl anymore, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So I actually got sober in the beginning of the pandemic. Everything shut down. Like, we're in New York and you're in Texas. So I don't know exactly how it all went down, but I know New York shut down on March 22nd. And I got sober on March 29th. And my first, I did Zoom meetings and all that. So I was lucky enough to meet people throughout the pandemic. Like, I actually know a lot of people in Austin, Texas. So it's so funny that you're in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So I would be making phone calls and texts. And then I met Julie and finally found like in-person sober friends. So one question that I have for you is what have you done to help you stay sober through this craziest time that we're living through?
You know, we shut down in April in Dallas, although where I work, we shut down in early March because we knew it was going to get bad. So we just made, and my boss was going through chemo, and so we couldn't be around, like it was too risky. So we shut down pretty early. But officially it was in April when Texas was a shelter in place. So like, we weren't leaving the house in April. And at the time, I'm so glad you got sober when you did. I remember I had the podcast going, and that's a big thing that kept me accountable, was just having this weekly commitment to air to the world, you know, hey, I'm still sober. Let's talk to somebody else who's doing it too. Like, that's like, you know, that's some really good accountability. So that helped. And I remember saying, that it, during COVID, that it was a great time for people to start getting sober because you had an excuse to be at home and not have to go out. You know, it's not like you had a choice. So you're not around the same trigger. So for anybody who's still thinking like COVID is a bad time to get sober, because we're still in it, despite what the rest of Texas thinks or our governor thinks, we're still in it. This is still a great time to get sober because the world is not, nor it's not how it used to be. You know, you can't just go out to bars whenever you want, you know, it's so, so I guess the long way to answer your question is, yeah, the podcast kept me accountable. And I really kind of pared things down. It was so high stress that it wasn't the time for me to dig in and do like inner child healing. Like it was just like basics, like get enough sleep, drink enough water, make sure you're on time to your therapy appointment and do the podcast. Like I was just really kind of going back to basics because my energy was being spent just trying to survive this new world that we lived in.
Yeah. It's crazy because I know, when the pandemic, everything's been going on. Now the whole alcohol delivery thing, I was thinking, you know, I was talking to my friends and I'm like, if I was actively drinking while alcohol was able to be delivered to my door, not only would I probably have lost my job from working from home because I wouldn't have been functioning, but I also probably would have died if I was able to have like such easy access to things. Like literally I'm ordering like Uber Eats, like trying to get sushi, and I scroll past the liquor store, you know, and it's crazy that, that it's so accessible. And, you know, I know a lot of people were kind of annoyed that liquor stores were open during the pandemic. They were like, oh, that's not essential.
It's actually essential. Yeah.
for people who are in active addiction and who are, I mean, I'm blessed that we're both blessed, all of us, that we were sober through it and didn't have that easy access. But for people who are actively in it and not at that point to get help yet, like,
yeah,
would have been a lot of deaths, a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were trying to save hospital beds, right? Like that was the whole point, you know, was just like, let's keep the hospitals as open as possible. So yeah, when people are like, I can't believe liquor stores are still open. And I'm like, no, this is good. Cause you don't want people to go into, you know, physical withdrawal and die and then take up hospital beds that people with COVID need, you know?
Yeah.
It was a weird time and everyone was emotional. And, you know, it's already emotional enough to get sober. And then this thing happens and it's just like, you just do it. It's hard no matter what. And I, you know, the liquor delivery was brand new. Like I think I had seen somebody get liquor delivered one time when I was drinking. And then like I got sober and like White Claw came out after that. And like all the hard seltzers came out after that. And like a whole bunch of new drinking stuff that's normal now was not normal when I was drinking. So I'm glad I missed out on that stuff too.
I actually have a question. I know that I've seen on your Instagram, I believe, like a few, I know like the whole non-alcoholic beverages.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same wavelength. Okay. So for me, I'm very weird about it. And I don't know if it's because I'm uncomfortable and I don't trust myself, or if it's just something that I haven't yet to like really want to do. I find myself not really like wanting or being comfortable trying like non-alcoholic beers or stuff like that. Like, I don't know if it'll be triggering for me. Like I get nervous. So I kind of try to stick to my, like, you know, my regular bubbly, but I know you've had a few. What was it?
I've had Free, the non-alcoholic wine.
Oh yeah. I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I won't drink it alone.
Okay.
what are your, like, I guess your opinion or your, for you personally, how does it?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's only for me personally because it's different for everyone. So, when I, first quit drinking, I was really afraid that like, if I tried non-alcoholic beer, that would mean I wasn't sober. And that was like old, like people pleasing Trisha. Like I was really worried about doing this thing perfectly, which, spoiler alert, is impossible. You just got to do it the best you can.
Yeah.
And so so non-alcoholic beer is not triggering to me. I wasn't a beer drinker though. So I don't associate the taste of beer with my drinking. I don't have any bad memories around it. It just wasn't my thing. So I can drink it now without it being triggering at all. I also, for anyone that thinks like, oh, well, it's got 0.5%, like that is, a banana has like 0.3%. Like it's, I mean, it's a really fascinating thing to learn about. Like that's just the only number that they can put on the label. Mm-hmm. There, I did a whole episode about it. You can listen to it. but non-alcoholic wine, I can't drink it. I was a wine drinker. So like I had some kind of, it was like a non-alcoholic sangria, and I tried it and it was so weird to me. It just did something in my brain that I was like, this isn't right. And I had to dump it out, and I haven't been able to do any NA wine since. I probably wouldn't be able to do champagne either for the same reason.
Yeah.
So that's just my thing, you know, people that were really big beer drinkers might not want to drink NA beer at first. You know, I also know people that loved beer when they were drinking and they can drink NA beer now, and it's a great tool for them. We're all different. Like my opinion is only based on my experience, which was based on my own drinking, and that won't apply to somebody else. You know, you have to figure it out as you go. And if you're not sure, then don't do it. You know, maybe get a year under your belt and then see how you feel about it and ask yourself, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you're stressed out? Well, then you probably shouldn't go drink your NA beer if you're stressed out. You probably should go drink some water instead or make a cup of tea.
Yeah. It's so interesting how everyone's recovery is so different. Like what works for you might not work for me, or what works for Kimberly might not work for you. You know, it's really interesting how I think that's what makes recovery so versatile and so accessible to so many people, and they don't even know because they don't realize that there's so many ways. Am I making sense? Right? Like so many ways to do it.
Yeah. That absolutely makes sense. It's a buffet out there, especially like in the past, like 4 years, there are so many more options now online. And I mean, COVID forced AA to go online. I mean, there are so many things that people were always like, hell no, we're never going to do that. Like, you know, and now look, you know, there's so much that's accessible to us without leaving our homes. So yeah, it's just different for everybody. And I'm a huge proponent of journaling. I wish I had started doing it sooner, but I encourage anybody who's new in sobriety to journal. For just that reason, learn what your triggers are. You know, if you find that you're craving that alcoholic drink that you like if it's NA beer, then that's good to journal about and know, okay, like flip back and go, what was my trigger that day? And you've got the data. You know, it's a really cool process to kind of figure out on your own and know that it's unique to you.
Yeah, definitely agree with that one. So our Kimberly over here is coming up on her first year at the end of this month.
Birth. Wow. That's a really big deal. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have any wise words for her and for me too? I have a year and a half, so we're right around the same time. So
keep going. You know, it's like how you feel today is going to be different than how you feel tomorrow is going to be different than how you feel in a year. I'm a totally different person now than I was when I was a year sober. Totally different person. This process has very little to do with alcohol and everything to do with what was buried deep inside of you that you needed to drink over. And once you learn how to not drink and that becomes your normal, and you can just then focus on the stuff that was buried inside, that's where the real work begins. And that's when you finally get to know who you are. And it's really easy to get wrapped up in sobriety as an identity. And again, that can be a really powerful tool for some people to stay sober. But you have to really just, alcohol and sobriety aside, learn who you are and learn where these things come from. And, you know, like my hardest year, and for some reason, this seems to be pretty common. And maybe you'll have the same experience. Year two was the hardest for me. I mean, the first year was like, okay, we're learning how to not drink. Yay, I've been sober for a year. Woohoo, like, let's party. And then the second year, then it's like, oh, wow, shit gets real. Like, the new and shiny has worn off. And now you look around and you're like, wow, I have a lot of stuff in my life I need to clean up. So just know that, like, every year is its own process. Don't get attached to the outcome. Don't get attached to who you are because you're going to change.
Yeah.
You know, like, be wide open and accepting of whatever life is going to hand you. And just keep building yourself up, keep learning tools, keep using tools, keep trying new things, you know, meet new people. Like, this is a really awesome opportunity. And I just hope that that both of you get to the point where you realize that it was never about the alcohol to begin with.
Yeah, I think we're,
I'm slowly learning that.
Yeah.
You know, my fourth step showed me a lot.
and you kept going?
I kept going.
Good for you. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I love the 12 steps. I'm not like an active member in the 12 step program anymore, but I did the steps and went to meetings and did the sponsorship and all of it. Man, that is an awesome, awesome tool to go through those steps. And,
yeah. That's what we both did to start our sobriety, as we both joined a 12 step program. And now, I mean, we're still both actively, you know, engaged and doing what we got to do, but this whole podcast world is so much fun, and we are definitely expanding our sobriety toolkit. So
yeah, you can't have enough, and the world is going to change so much. And you'll just, I'm telling you, like 3-4 years from now, you're going to be having a conversation with somebody who's been sober for a year, and you're going to be like, when I got sober, we didn't have X, Y, and Z. Like, it's cool to watch all this stuff evolve and see what all is available to us. So it's an awesome time to be.
Yeah. I was
going to
say, that's also interesting for you, 'cause you said 4 years ago, right?
Yeah. 4.5, 2016.
Right. So from that to like now, where there's now Zoom, it's like, what is happening? It's totally, totally different. So that's very, very interesting.
It's totally different. It's totally different. It's a wild world out there. And it's even if you're not drinking, it's still a wild world out there. You know, I still do dumb stuff all the time.
We're works in progress. We gotta,
exactly.
Like they say, one day at a time is in this crazy world is all we can really do. So
progress, not perfection, you know?
Yep.
Yes.
We thank you so much for chatting with us.
Of course. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And do you have any last parting words, Kimberly?
I just want to say thank you so much. Your podcast is actually something I discovered in my early sobriety. So to be able to speak with you tonight is amazing. And thank you for agreeing to come on to JK We're Sober.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. You guys are going to do great things, and just keep it up, you know?
Thank you. I was talking to a friend right before we started, and I was like, why am I nervous? Like, I don't know why I'm nervous. And she's like, Tuli, like, you're all the same, you know, like, it's like, just because someone's doing it for a little longer or whatever it is, you know, like, we're all the same. We're just people trying to do every day the best that we can. You know, I always say we do the best we can with what we got. And that's, I feel like, what we're all doing. So
yeah. For anybody who's listening to this right now and thinks that like, we're any different than you, just know that like, it's 7 o'clock at night and I have yet to put on a bra. So we're all just doing it, you know?
Exactly. Well, again, we thank you so much.
And you're welcome.
To our listeners, just remember to hit subscribe and hang out with us every Sunday. And our Instagram is at JK We're Sober. And Kimberly and I always like to remind you that our private Instagrams are on there as well. So feel free to DM us or reach out if you ever need anything, want to chat, have ideas or topics or a bone to pick, whatever it is, we are open and here for you.
And remember, stay strong and stay sober.